Okay, Shalom Aleichem, good evening everybody. We left off in Bechoris Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah has a Machloikas HaTanoim. When does one do the Pinyon HaBen? Do you do on the Yom Lamed Aleph after Fduyah B'med Chodesh Tifteh? Pinyon HaBen is after the month is up, but there's a month of 29 days. So after 29 days is Yom Lamed, and then sometimes there's a month of 30 days every other month, and the Jewish calendar has 29 days, every other month has 30 days. So B'dim Ben Chodesh Tifteh, which Chodesh? The Chodesh of 29 days to a month of 30 days. So that's, so Rabbi Kiva holds that it's a Sveika Adina. So how do you deal with it if it's a Sveika Adina? So L'chatchila, you shouldn't do the Pinyon Ben on Yom Lamed, you should wait till Yom Lamed Aleph. And if the baby dies on the Yom Lamed, so if the father already gave the Pinyon HaBen money before the Yom Lamed and the baby dies on Yom Lamed, so maybe you're mechuyif to give Pinyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed, so then the kohen can keep the money. But if the kohen, but if the father didn't give the money yet, then he said, "Amotzim chaverol avaraya." Since the baby didn't live till Yom Lamed Aleph, so misafik. The father is muchzak. The father gave the money, then the kohen is muchzak. So the baby died on Yom Lamed, then the kohen doesn't have to give back the money because maybe the chiv was chal on the Yom Lamed. It's Rabbi Akiva Shita. And we paskin that it's not a sveka didina. We paskin that the chiv only begins on the Yom Lamed Aleph. Okay. So this this din that you do pinyon HaBen after the month is up, the way we paskin on the Yom Lamed Aleph, this is even if it's a perfectly healthy baby, and the baby was in an accident. It was run over by a car, an accident. Based on this mitzvah, Pinyon HaBen, we have a Gemara, that kol shalosho shloshem yom ba'adam is a suffix nefam. Let's say a baby is born, you don't know whether it was kol alechadoshim or not. Kol alechadoshim means a full-term pregnancy. What's the definition of a full-term pregnancy? We know pregnancy is 9 months. Somehow in the days of the Gemara, they thought there are two kinds of pregnancies. There's a 7-month pregnancy and a 9-month pregnancy. If a baby is born in the 8th month, so we have to ascertain, is it a post-mature 7-month pregnancy? So it's a full-term. Or is it a premature 9-month pregnancy? So it's an AFO. Premature baby is an AFO. Today, they put these premature babies in an incubator. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any incubators. The baby would be a nefel. So in the days of the Gemara, if the baby was born in the 8th month, you'd have to ascertain, is it a post-mature, is it a postponed 7-month pregnancy? So the fingernail, the Gemara says, the fingernail, there's hair already, and the finger and the features are chiseled out, and the fingernails are on already. So then it's a post-mature, it's a full-term, it's a post-mature 7-month pregnancy. If there's no hair on the baby's head and there are no fingernails grown, then it looks like it's a premature 9-month pregnancy. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ritva, who says he doesn't understand what this corresponds to. We don't know what that means, a 7-month pregnancy. We just know there's a 9-month pregnancy. On the assumption that you're talking about a 9-month, that's what we're talking, a 9-month pregnancy, so that's a shaila. Yoledes Letisha, a woman has a 9-month pregnancy. Is Yoledes Limikutoin or any Yoledes Limikutoin? Mikutoin means that Mikutoin means into the 9th month. If the woman knows when she began to become pregnant, she knows she didn't go to mikveh before a certain day, she couldn't have become pregnant then. And she knows soon after she probably became pregnant. She doesn't know exactly when. So if she knows that she already entered into the beginning of the 9th month, that's called mikutoin. The 9th month is chopped off. After the 9th month, it was missing. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara with the Yoledes Letisha. If it's the 9-month, if it's Yoledes Leshiva, if it, in the days of the Gemara again, they thought that there's such a thing as a 7-month pregnancy. So the Gemara says, if you have Yoledes Leshiva, if it's a 7-month pregnancy, it's a short. So that for sure is Yoledes Lemikutoin. If it's 6 full months, 6 full months means 6 times 30 days. You don't say Jewish calendar, every other month is 29 days, every month is 30 days. It means 6 times 30 days plus one day into the seventh month. So the Gemara assumes if you're dead, that's Shiva. If it's a 7-month pregnancy, means everything is done b'kitza nimratz, then it's yoledes is limikud toim. Then as long as she entered into the 7th month, that's called the Vlad Bar Kayom. But if you say that is Letisha, if it's a 9-month pregnancy, that's a machloikis in the days of the Gemara. And the Rishonim assume that we hold Aloha, Yoled is Letisha, any Yoled is Limakutoid. That's not considered full term unless you have 9 full months of 30 days each. 9 times 30. 270 days. You have to have a full 9 months of 30 days each. That was in the days of the Rishonim, they paskin like that. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch paskin is la'alocha, not so. And the Ramah quotes the Chuvas Tashbetz. Tashbetz lived in Algeria, in northern Africa. He was one of the early Achronim. And he says, whatever it was in the days of the Gemara, whatever was in the days of the Rishonim, but today it's clearly not so. A full-term pregnancy means if she entered in, if she had 8 full months of 30 days each, and she already entered one day into the 9th month, so that's considered full term. So if she knows for sure that it's a full term pregnancy, even if the baby dies before 30 days, you still have to sit shiva. That's called the Vlad Bar Kayama. The Klal in the Gemara, Kol Shalosho Shloshim Yom Ba'odam Havi Neifel, that's if you don't know whether it's Kol HaLachadosh of Anat, if you don't know whether it's full term Anat. So then if the baby survived 30 days, we assume, just like the Torah gave the mitzvah Pigyan HaBen on after 30 days. See, Pigyan HaBen, even if it's Biyadua, even let's say, you know, it was a post-mature baby. She was pregnant for 10 months. Instead of being not, she was pregnant for 10 months. And then later on, the baby dies before Yom Lamed Aleph. So there's no Pigyan HaBen. That's Xeris HaKasim. The mitzvah of Pinyan Ben is only Yom Lamed Aleph, mean Ben Chodesh Vamayla. Before Yom Lamed Aleph, there's no mitzvah of Pinyan Ben. But based on the Pasuk, the Gemara came up with this idea that whenever you have, and that you have to wait till the Yom Lamed Aleph is even the Yodush, Kol HaLachadosh. I know that it's a full term period. I know it's even post mature. It doesn't matter. You have to wait till the Yom Lamed Aleph. But based on the Pasuk, the Gemara had this idea. And whenever you have a Vlad, it's any Adua, it's not sure whether Kol HaLachadoshev or not. So if the baby survives 30 days, then you know the Adua should Kol HaLachadoshev. That is not a Nefam. If it dies within 30 days, then it's a Sufik Nefam. But if you know it's the Adua should Kol HaLachadoshev, it was a full term pregnancy. And full term today, the Ramah says, Ben Hakel Ben Lachmer. The Ramah says that Benigetu Chalitza. Things like this. Let's say a couple is married. Tosis quotes this Gemara. A couple is married and the husband dies leaving no children. But the wife is pregnant. At the time the husband dies, the wife is pregnant. Or the wife just had a baby a few days before the husband died. And you don't know whether the baby was called Allah Hadashav or not. So if the baby dies within 30 days, that you didn't prove that it's a Bar Kayama. So we consider it as if the baby was a Suffolk Nefel. Nefel means it was never alive, even though he was alive for 28 days. But since he died before the 30th day, 31st day, so we say the baby is a Suffolk Nefel. Baby is Suffolk Nefel, so you need Chalitza. Means it was never alive. So the husband died, the Eilo Banim. He had a little baby. The baby was born, let's say, 2 weeks before the husband died. That's not considered alive, because since the baby died within 30 days, unless it was a full-term pregnancy, then even if the baby does die within 30 days, we assume, you don't have to have the proof that it should live 30 days to ascertain that it's not an eifel. So then the Gemara says that this whole din that we abstracted, that we derived from the Parsha Pinyan HaBen, that a baby who dies within 30 days is considered a Sofek Nefel, if it's Eina Yodua and Kol HaLachadosh V'Anad, you don't know whether it's a full-time pregnancy or not. This whole thing is only a Chumra Midirabbanim. Min HaTorah, it's not so. Min HaTorah, we assume that Roiv Lodis are not the following. The Rav Lada Zabar Kayam. So the whole thing is on the Chomer Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, what happens? The husband died, and the wife is pregnant, and then she has a baby, and the baby died within 30 days. And you don't know whether it was kolal chadashav. If you know that it was loy kolal chadashav, let's say a baby is born premature, bevaday lo kolal chadashav. The pregnancy did not even enter into the beginning of the ninth month. Then the baby is considered a sofik neif until he reaches the age of 20. That's a gemara in Yevamos. Till the age of 20. Chazanish writes that bizman hazeh, that we have incubators. So once the doctors put the baby in an incubator, that's like putting the baby back inside the mother's rechem. And then the hospital, the doctors determine that it's enough. The baby is fully developed as much as it would have been if it would have been in the mother's womb for 9 months. And the hospital releases the baby. So that's considered the equivalent to kolal chadasha. Guy Weiss from the Eidach HaRedes, who wrote the Shabbos Shuvos Minchas Yitzchak, an Ungarish, a different style of psak. So he tithes against the Chazanish. Who gave the Chazanish the right to disagree with the Gemara? He's not disagreeing with the Gemara, he's just making a medical statement that if you put the baby in an incubator, that's like putting him back into the mother. Then the doctors say the baby is just as healthy as any other baby who is a full-term pregnancy. So that the Pashtus is like that. I once said this over in Shia. We were once discussing the topic in the yeshiva. So I didn't realize what happened. One of the boys was born prematurely. One of the boys in my class was born prematurely. And they put him in an incubator. And he wasn't yet 20 years old. So when I said this, I said the Chazanish says if the baby was put in an incubator, the doctors released the baby, everything was fine. That's considered equivalent to kol chadashav. And then I said jokingly that Dayan Weiss from the Eidach HaRedes says who gave the Chazanish the right to disagree with the Gemara. So the boy tells me a year later, he started to perspire, he was so petrified. He's a Suffolk Nafel till he reaches the age of 20. So then the next year he had his birthday, and he comes over to me one morning, he was in my shir again the next, and he says, Sukum to my mazel tov, he knows that he's alive. So I said, what are you talking about? Of course you're alive. He said, because last year I said that the Minchas Yitzchak disagrees with the Chazanish, and he holds even if the baby was put in an incubator, the Gemara says you have to wait till the age of 20. You don't know till 20 that he's not in it. So I said it is a joke that Minchas Yitzchak disagrees with the Chazanish. Chazanish is right. He said he didn't take it as a joke. Well, he was frightened the whole year till he reached the age of 20. Then he knows that he's not a Suffolk Neif. Okay. So that's what Tosfos quotes all of this. So then Tosfos quotes the Gemara. What if, again, going back to the case, a woman is married and the husband dies and he has no other children and the wife is either pregnant or the wife just had a baby 2 or 3 weeks ago. And you don't know whether the baby was kolal chadashav, lo kolal chadashav. They didn't know when it's not so easy to know when the beginning of the pregnancy is. So it's any adur kolal chadashav, so the Gemara said you have to wait 30 days. So the Gemara says that whole din, you have to wait 30 days, is only a chumah min rabbanan min haTorah. Yisum rov lodas are not nefo. The rov of the lodas are not nefo, so there's no need to wait 30 days. So the Gemara says, what happens? The husband dies. Ubein ein lo. And if he has no children, then the wife needs chalitza ayibam. So what if the woman doesn't know she had a baby, and the baby dies within 30 days, but she doesn't know whether it was a bark, she doesn't know whether it was kolal chadashav or not? So the whole requirement to wait 30 days is only mid the rabbanim. So the Gemara says, what if she already got married to a kohen? She shouldn't have. You're not supposed to, when the husband dies, or the husband divorces his wife, there's a din, you're supposed to wait havchana, you're supposed to wait tzadik beis yom. You're supposed to wait 3 full months, 92 days. 92 means a full 90 days in between the day on which the husband died and the day on which she wants to remarry. You have to have 3 full months of 90 days. We don't have 3 months in a row, 30 days. But that's the din, you have to wait 90 days and another 2 days, the day on which the husband died and the day on which she wants to remarry. to make sure if she's pregnant, you'll know whether the child is the child of the first husband or the second husband. What's an afkamina, a child of the first husband, second husband? So the first husband is a kohen or a lady. The second husband is not, so you want to know. Or for Yerusha purposes, for Yibum Machalitza, is he a brother of the sons born from the second husband? Or is he a brother of the... various purposes, you want to know who the father is when he gets an aliyah. You call him up as the son of the first husband and second husband. So now, we can tell by the DNA. We can tell by the blood type. But in the days of the Gemara, they had no way of telling. So that's why they instituted the din with the Rabbanim. Even though the Gemara seems as if they darshan it from a pasuk that you have to have hatchana. Even though the Gemara seems to have learned it out from a pasuk that you have to wait tzadik beis yom. So all the poskim say that it's only midirabbanan. The pasuk that they learned that from was an asmachta. The pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, "Lias l'chol l'lekim u'lezaracha acharecha." I want to be the God for you and for your children after you. So the zaracha acharecha has the connotation we want to have zara miyuchasakro. We want to know when the Jewish children are born who exactly is the father. Is it the first husband or the second husband? So the poskim say that that's only an asmachta midirabbanan. That's not a real drashic mood deraisa. When you have a giyores, a non-Jewish woman converts, so there's a machlekes in the Gemara where they need havchana, machlekes amaran. Havchana by a Jewish woman whose husband died, the first husband divorced her, that all the Tanoim agree that there's a requirement for havchana in order to know whether the child is a child of the first husband, second husband. By Gioris, it's a machlekes amaran, and we do need havchana. So by Gioris, what's the shaila whether by Gioris? You want to know whether the child that she's going to give birth to, maybe she's pregnant at the time that she's converting. So you want to know whether the child is hairasa v'leidasa b'gdusha, hairasa shalai b'gdusha v'leidasa b'gdusha. There are some slight differences between the two. So there, that Rav Soloveitchik thought that may be a din d'oraisa. Even though that one is a machlokes, avchana by an eishes ish, but the first husband died, or the first husband divorced his wife, that all the poskim assume, they quote the Pesach Tshuva, quotes the Pnei Yeshua, and all the poskim agree with him that havchana is only with the Rabbanim. But havchana by Gioris, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that may be a din d'oraisa to preserve the yuchsin and klal yisrael, because that's a more important shaila, to know whether the child is hairasa b'gdusha or hairasa shalob b'gdusha. So that may be a real din d'oraisa. So we say that by Gioris also, you need havchana, but it's a question if it's a loy plug or not. See, havchana by an eishes ish, but the husband died or the husband divorced her. So that the Gemara says they made a loy plug. Even if the woman is 95 years old, and obviously she's not pregnant, and even if they haven't been talking to each other for the last 20 years, and even if the husband is sitting in prison in one country and the wife is sitting in prison in another country, they couldn't have been together. Obviously she's not pregnant. And even the Gemara says, even if Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he says that the woman is not pregnant, Al Kulam, everything is still, it's a loy plug rabban. It's a loy plug rabban. So it's not going to help if you make a pregnancy test. You take a pregnancy test that ascertains whether the woman is pregnant or not. It's not going to help because they made a loy plug rabban. And Shaila says, what about the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer, the Chalkas Mechoykek and the Beis Shmuel are the two commentaries. Chalkas Mechoykek is in the inside where Rashi would be in the Gemara and the Beis Shmuel is on the outside. So the Beis Shmuel often quotes the Chalkas Mechoykek. He quotes the Chalkas Mechoykek as the suffix, whether by Gioris. Gioris was a Machlokes in the Gemara, whether you need Havchana or not. So we pass on Locha that you do. So the suffix was, is it also a loy plug or not? Let's say if you'll take a pregnancy test and you'll ascertain that she is pregnant or she's not pregnant, right? So we know that we know she's not pregnant, and whoever she's going to be pregnant afterwards is going to be harasa v'leidasa b'gdusha. So we will ascertain one way or the other. So is it a loy plug or not? So that's the suffix. That's interesting. You look in the tshuvas of the Sri Deyesh. There's two tshuvas on this. One tshuva of the Sri Deyesh gave the highest share in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin before the war. And after the war, there wasn't a Hildesheim Seminary. There was not, the Jewish community in Berlin didn't exist anymore. So he worked on Shilas after the war. So he has a tshuva before the war. He says it was a suffix in the Chelkas Mechokik and the Bishmul. So you have to go to Chum, after the Melchama. A group of Talmid HaChamim in Eretz Yisrael got together and they did the work on this set that's called Otzar HaPoskim. Otzar HaPoskim is on Eben Ezra. They quote the Likud of all of the Achreim, whoever has something to say, and every Simon and Sif in Shulchan Aruch. So they're working very slowly. I don't think they finished the whole Shulchan Aruch yet. It's already after the war. It's already 80 years. But they covered much of Eben Ezra. So this thing of Havchana is in the beginning of Eben Ezra. So in the beginning of Eben Ezra, in the Oitzer HaPoskim, they quote that the Minchas Chinuch is usually a pilpul sefer. Usually Minchas Chinuch doesn't talk halacha lemaisa on shailas that come up. Minchas Chinuch brings a rai from often a Rambam that it's not a loitlug. By Gioris, it's not a loitlug. Because how come no one else knew about it? Because the Rambam is not where it belongs. It's not when the Rambam talks about the Dinam HaFachon. It's the Rambam when he talks about Yifas Toya and Hilchas Malachim. When the Jewish army is fighting against the enemy, Shavrisa Shivya Verisa Bashivya Eshis Sepasta Bachashakta Ba Lakakta Lacha Ali Yisha. So it says, Vachsa Savya Vasima Yerach Yamim. She has to sit in your home, dressed shabbily, and she has to look awful in the hope that the soldier will not want to marry her. And if at the end of the month, if he still wants to marry her, then you have to have Havchana. And so the Rambam says you have to wait another 2 months after she converts. What happened? You need 3 months. So the Rambam understood, no. The first month, she was in your home crying. So you know that she wasn't mezana with anybody. You weren't mezana with her. She wasn't mezana with anybody else. So the Rambam says it's not a life to look. You only... After you convert her, you only have to wait 2 months. Because the first month was Havchana before she converted. So you see from the Rambam that by the Gioris, it's not a light plug. So that's what, so the Tzvi Yesh has two tshuvas on the topic. Whether by Gioris is it a light plug? You know for sure that she is pregnant. So can you permit her to, she can't marry someone other than the one who made her pregnant. That's a dinim oberes chaver, menekes chaverim. That's a different din. But let's say she's going to marry the one who made her pregnant. So that's Muberes Atzmai. So is there a din of Havchana or not? So that's what the second Shuvah of the Shri Yesh was written after the Otzer HaPoskim started publishing. And they quote the Minchas Chinuch, who was poshut this Shaila in Achrayim from the Rambam by Yifas Torah. So he says that it's not a look. That's Rav Moshe also has like that. He has a little bit in his tshuvas, he was mekel, and then Baal Peh, remember my father told me, my father had the shayla, so Baal Peh Moshe was mekel more than what he writes in his tshuvas. If you take a pregnancy test, some of the pregnancy tests are more reliable than others. So if you take a reliable pregnancy test, and you see one way or the other, that she is or is not pregnant, then there's no longer any loitlo, then she can get remarried right away. Rav Soloveitchik explained why that usually he thought that Havchana by Gioris is deraisa, Havchana by the Eshishish is only the Rabbanon. So Ruba the Ruba of the Dinim the Rabbanon were instituted as a loitlug. But the Dinim deraisa a lot of times are not a loitlug. Whenever the Din applies, whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the whole Din doesn't apply. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He thought that by Gioris the Din, the requirement for Havchana is deraisa. Either was one opinion in the Gemara about that a Gioris doesn't need Havchana at all. So the Gemara says, why? If the girl is planning to convert, she's probably going to see to it that she won't become pregnant before she converts. So since she's going to be careful, she'll practice birth control somehow, however they practiced in the days of the Tanaim. She'll see to it that she won't become pregnant. So that's why perhaps we don't need Havchana. But all the Gemara, the Machlokes HaMaharim was not whether you need Havchana. They all hold you need Havchana. But by the Gioris, it's built in. She's going to be careful herself. She won't want to become pregnant. So we pass him that he didn't need Havchana, but it's not a life book. So if you take a pregnancy test, you see that she's not pregnant. Or you see that she is pregnant. And she's going to marry the man who made her pregnant. So then it's okay. Then there's no din of Havchana. So the Tosis quotes the Gemara in Yevamos. So let's say the husband died, and he left no children, so the wife needs chalitza. But then she gives birth to a baby. She was pregnant. She gave birth 2 weeks before the husband died, or after the husband died, whatever it is. And you don't know whether it was a full-term pregnancy. And on the days of the Gemara, they didn't know. Today, they can tell. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't know whether it was full-term. So you have to wait. So you have to wait 30 days to see. If the Vlad survives 30 days, it's a simon that it's a Vlad. It's a Vlad Bar Kayama. So let's say, instead of waiting 30 days, and then having the Rabbanim Paskin Ben Yeshlo, here's the Vlad. So she didn't wait. She Paskin not her own. She sees she has a baby. She assumes the baby's going to survive. So she goes and she gets married to a Kohen. An Amana is permitted to marry a Kohen. Amana is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, but she's allowed to marry a Kohen Hedya. So the Amana gets married to a Kohen. She's not supposed to. She's supposed to wait 92 days. That's a din of Havchana. Supposed to wait 90 days, not only in order to have Nisuin. Erisin, she's an Eishes Ish, but they're not living together. Nisuin, they're living together. So not only to do Nisuin do you need Havchana, to do Erisin also. So Machlekes HaTanaim, we Paskan, it's not right to do Erisin either, because it's going to lead to Nisuin. So they're not supposed to do Erisin. So she did Shalok Yedin. She was Mekabel Kiddushin from a Kohen. And then the baby dies within 30 days. The baby dies within 30 days, so we consider it like a Safik Nefel. Safik Nefel, so she needs Chalitza, because Bein Einlo, the husband, never had any children. And this baby died, and we say, is considered as if it was never alive in the first place. And Nefel means, even though it was alive, it's considered as if it was a Nefel. It was never alive. But the Gemara says, since that whole din, that whole requirement, if you don't know whether the Vlad was a Kolala Chadoshim or not, you don't know whether it's full term. That you have to wait 30 days to ascertain that it was a Vlad Bar Kayom. But that whole requirement, that's only a Chumim Midrabanan. But Minatari, you have a right to assume that Rav Vladois of Vlad Ba'alya did not Nefel. So if we're going to tell a woman, L'chumra Midrabanan, that she needs Chalitza, then she won't be able to have Nisun with the husband as a Kohen. Because Minatari, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, but he's permitted to marry a Chalutza Midrabanan. They prohibited a woman, they prohibited a Chalutza from marrying a Kohen. So if you're going to require the Chumra Midrabanan, if the baby dies within 30 days, you're going to require Midrabanan that she needs a Chalitza, then she's going to become Asura to the husband that she just married. She's just Mekabel Kiddushin with the Kohen. She shouldn't have done that. She was supposed to wait 92 days before you do Kiddushin. She didn't know that. She didn't realize that. So the Gemara says, if she was Mekabel Kiddushin from a Yisrael or a Levi, so we say, let her do Chalitza, and then she'll have Nisun with her husband, no problem. But if she was a Megabal Kedushan from a Kohen, and then we're going to introduce this Chumra Midrabanan, that since the Vlad died within 30 days, and we don't know whether it was Kol HaChadoshim or not, so she's going to need Chalitza, that's going to answer her and her husband. So the Gemara said, that's Shas HaTchak. So the Shas HaTchak, we revert back to the Din Daraisa. The Din Daraisa is that if you don't know one way or the other whether the Vlad was a Kolel HaChadoshim or not, you assume that Rav Vladis are not Nefalim. And you assume that she doesn't need the Chalitza, and shine. The Vlad was a Bar Kayama, and there's no problem. Yeah. Here the Gemara has an interesting din. When someone was alive and he dies, then there's a din of avelus. If someone was stillborn, a baby was, when it came out of the mother's body, a stillborn baby. So there's no niyog avelus. There's no niyog avelus. In fact, there's a question whether is there a chiyuv kvura. There is a mitzvah kvura. The pasuk says, ki abish chayp nishpat mavis v'humas. The original pasuk of Chumash says, if a person was put to death, Mises Bezin. He did an aver for which he deserves Mises Bezin. They gave him the death penalty. So the original din of Kavati Bera Me'emu and the Chumash only says it by Haruge Bezin. And the Gemara says, we darshan Kavati Bera Kefaloshan, that we say there's a machlokes hatanai, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, but they say, Dibbetar Kedushan, and the other Dibbetar Kedushan, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. Did he dictate it in a divine language, or perhaps in slang, the way people speak. So people speak, a lot of times they repeat the words unnecessarily. They say the same thing over and over and over again. So do you have to be medayik every single word in the Chumash must have meaning? Well, not necessarily. People speak like that, and they add extra words. So we paskin like Rabbi Akiva that lo dibeter kedushan miryad. Whenever you have the shonas kvulim, you have a kefil doshan. It says, mos yumos, kovetik berenu, hanik tanik, nosim titin. Vesach tiftach. You have a lot of times where you have a kefil doshan. So every time we follow Rabbi Akiva that you make a drasha, every time there's lashonas kvulim, it's marbe something else. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, dibeter kedushan miryad. You have no right to darshan lashonas kvulim. So here, there are two brises back to back, one next to the other. Both brises say practically exactly word for word the same thing, but there's slight shina between the two. So the Lecha Mishnah points it out. That the first brise says, the original pasuk covered the ground and says, by Haruge Besen. How do you know a regular person dies from old age and he dies on his bed at home at the age of 120? How do you know that there's a chayil kura? Because it says kavetik brenu kefaloshin, so it's marbi even leisam mitosa, even not only harugi bezin, even a normal person. Then the other brisa says remez l'kura menator minayin. So remez usually ruba deruba. Remez usually implies that it's a din derabban. Once in a long time, the Gemara will use the loshin remez, and it's a din deraisa. For example, the first daf in Makkos, that's remez leidim zanim mishaloike menator minayin. That once in a while, when the Eidim Zamimim were caught lying about the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, so the Mishnah says that they catch them in a lie, so you give them Malkus. So that's a real Din Deraisa, that's not a Din Derabanan. Nonetheless, it says Remez. So the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvos points that out. That Remez usually means that it's a Rasmachtim of the Rabban, it's only a Remez, but once in a while, you use the Losh Remez even on a Deraisa. So that's what the Lecha Mishnah says. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ramban, Vavam, Abesa, so the Gemara has two brises, one after the other, practically word for word, exactly the same. The only difference is the one brise says, "Remez lekvura menatar minayin shadam akav tibren," and the other brise says, "Minayin lekvura menatar by shar meisim," not only by haruge bezim or shar meisim. So the Gemara has a certain ibay the loy of shita. What's the din if a person leaves instructions? Al tikbruni. He doesn't want to be buried. So the Gemara has a shaila: is kvura mishum kapara, and the guy's not going to get the kapara anyway because he doesn't believe in the kapara. He left instructions, when I die, they should don't bury me, cremate me, whatever. So do you say, since he's not interested in getting the kapara, even if you will bury him, he won't get the kapara? Or do you say that the kfur is mishum kavod ha-mesim, and he's not a balabas, kavod ha-brius in general, it's not out of his kavod, and it's not that he should get a kapara. That will cover Rabbi Yisrael Jani. He's not a balabas to say that he doesn't want it. So the Rambam quotes that shaila. What's the din of man before he dies? Left instructions. Lo tikburu ahu gavra. He leaves instructions. Don't bury me after I die. So the Rambam says he don't follow the instructions because it's a mitzvah to do kvura. It doesn't matter what he says. So the Lech Mishnah asks that those not the two tzadim in the Gemara. The Gemara Safik was is kvura mishum kapara. And if the guy doesn't want, he says, don't bury me. Even if we will bury him, he won't get the kapara. As kurim mishum bizo and kavod abrius in general, so he's not a balabas. They say, don't bury me. The Rambam goes, he gives neither tzad. The Rambam says, you don't listen to him because kur is a mitzvah. So the Lech Mishnah explains. There were two shitas in the Gemara. It depends whether the dibur Torah kedushan miryadim or not. There were two shitas in the Gemara, whether the din of kur b'sham eisim is the raisa of the rabbanim. So this Ibaya in the Gemara, whether if the person leaves instruction, don't bury me, the Ibaya was, according to the Tzad, that Kfura B'Shamesim is only Midi Rabbanim. So what's the reason why Midi Rabbanim, they instituted Kfura B'Shamesim? Is Mishum Kapara or Mishum Kavod HaBrius in general? The Rambam passed like the other Tana, that Kfura B'Shamesim is a Din Daraisa. So it doesn't matter. Lo Dashina time of the quote. We don't care what the reason is. The Pasuk writes, Stoma, you have to bury everybody. So whatever the Tama mitzvah is, the Chumash doesn't say what the Tama is. So it doesn't matter what the Tama is, you have to bury. So that's what Amosha has a truth about that. He says that we pass Kfura B'Shamesim is Minat Torah. Yeah. So by a Nefel, maybe Kfura is Minat Torah because the person was born, he was once alive, and then he died. What if he was stillborn? A baby was stillborn, a nefel. Just like we say, there's no avelis is only if the person was born alive and then he dies later. But if he was born stillborn, or we say if he dies within 30 days, we consider him a sophic nefel. So there's no avelis. So what about kvura? Is there a mitzvah kvura on the following? So the Magen Avraham has. It should have been in Yerideya, in Hilchas Kvura. At the end of Yerideya, you have Hilchas Roifim, when a doctor is permitted to treat patients and under what circumstances are they allowed to. And what's the din if the doctor accidentally harmed the patient? What's the din of paying Nizikin? So there are three Toseptas, three different Toseptas that contradict each other, in Bava Kamma and in Gittin. Two in Bava Kamma and one in Gittin. So there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about that. Then they have the dinim at the end of Yerideya. What's the din if the doctors were not successful and the patient died? Has all the dinim of Avela, has all the dinim of Kvura, has all the dinim of Tumas Koyanim. So it should have been a discussion there whether there's a mitzvah to bury a nefel. The nefel was never alive in the first place. He was stillborn. But the discussion is not there. The discussion is in Aruch Chaim. Magen Avraham is only on Aruch Chaim. The discussion is in Hilchos Kvura on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. On Yom Tov Rishon, we bury Al Yedei Amimim. On Yom Tov Sheni, we bury Al Yedei Yisrael. On Shabbos, you don't bury even Al Yedei Amimim. That's a bizarre amaze that they're going to remember years later. Oh, I remember the Levaya, the Goyim are digging the grave on Shabbos. The Goyim are driving. There was Chilul Shabbos involved. So that's a bizarre amaze to be buried on Shabbos. You don't have any kvura at all. But on Yom Tov Rishon, we allow Amir with the Nochri to do kvura. And in Yom Tov Sheni, we even allow Amir the Yisrael. Even the Yisrael can do it. Yom Tov Sheni, l'gabim meis k'chol shav yor abonim. You don't have to observe Yom Tov Sheni when it comes to burying a meis. But Moshe Feinstein writes that these heterim, to bury a meis on Yom Tov Rishon, ay dey nochrim, ay dey gmar zvosh, ay dey amim, it means ay dey nochrim, to bury Yom Tov Sheni, ay dey Yisrael. He claims that these heterim only applied bizman ha-gemar, bizman ha-zeh doesn't apply. So Bizman HaGemara, to bury the mace is not in order to fulfill the mitzvah of coveting bereda b'yoymahu. So that's not a cause to be matter. It's because of the bizoyer mace. The body is going to decompose and it's going to smell. It's going to be a bizoyim. But he says, Bizman HaZeh, that you have a freezer, so you see to it that they put the mace in the freezer and you do the kvura after yantar. There's no heter. And then he writes at the end, people are going to say, I'm chelek on the Gemara. So he is chelek on the Gemara. So the Gemara doesn't apply. Bizman HaZeh. It didn't only apply Bizman HaGemara. Bizman HaZeh doesn't apply. The Agudas Rabbanim made an Isser many, many years ago. They made an Isser that you're not allowed to do a Levaya, not a Yom Tov Rishon, not a Yom Tov Sheni, for different reason. Because I remember when I was growing up in the Bronx, there would be a Levaya, Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni. They would call up all the relatives in New Jersey and in Connecticut, and everybody would drive in. Everybody would be driving around here to there. There was so much chilul yantas. So the Agudas Rabbanim, the European Rabbanim, they weren't so convinced that Rav Moshe was right, but they said, like a gzera, even if Rav Moshe is not right, you shouldn't allow kvura on yantas because there's going to be a lot of chilul shamas. In Breuers, they have a strong community, so they have no shaykhs with Rav Moshe Feinstein at all. So they didn't accept it. So Breuers used to have Kvuras on Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni also. But the rest of New York, most follow the Agudas Rabbanim's recommendation that you shouldn't allow Kvuras. So there, the Magen Avraham discusses, when it talks about Kvuras Ameis on Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni, I think it's the similar about Kvura on Yom Tov Sheni. So the Magen Avraham raises the question, what's the din of kvuras hanefel? Is there a mitzvah kvura hanefel? That's a woman has a stillborn baby in a hospital. So the government, the hospital, will take the fetus and bury it in a Beis HaKvaras. But it'll be one general Beis HaKvaras, Jews were going together. So if there's a chiv kvura hanefel, then you have to have kevi Yisrael. You can't let the hospital take care of it and they bury it in a general plot. But if he held that there's no chiv kvura on the fallim, if there's no chiv kvura on the fallim, then you can bury them, you can do whatever you want, then you can bury the mace even in the Goyish cemetery. So that's the shala how we paskin. So the Magen Avraham quotes, there's a Gemara Nida. The Gemara says, the tzedukim, or the kusim, I think the Gemara said, the kusim darshan the pasuk, that there's only a chiyuv kvura on a bar kayovme. There's no mitzvah kvura on an eifel. So usually when the Gemara says the kusim said something, it means by definition that it's wrong. They didn't accept Torah Shabbal Peh. So from the Gemara's mashma, the tzukim hold there's no chiyuv kvura on an eifel, but the chachamim hold that there is. So the Magen Avraham quotes some achrayim say no. Once in a long while, the kusim are right. So he said, in Rav HaPoskim hold like that. Rav HaPoskim hold like that day in the Magen Avraham, that there's no mitzvah kvura on an eifel, because he was never alive in the first place. The din of Kavod Rabbis was, if the baby was first alive, and then a person was once alive, then he dies, then there's a mitzvah kvura. But if he's never alive, not. So the achrayim write that the minig is, in the fifth month of pregnancy, the woman starts feeling movement inside of her body. She feels the baby moving around. So if she already felt the baby moving, and then she has the stillborn comes out of her body, so then you do Kevah Yisroel. But if the fetus came out before the mother felt movement, so the minig is that you don't have to spend another fortune of money to have Kevah Yisroel. You can let the hospital bury in a Goyisha cemetery. To leave the baby around, that's not right. A nafel is metame. A nafel, if the woman has a miscarriage before 40 days, so the Gemara calls it Maya Bialma. That's not called a mace. But if the pregnancy is after 40 days, one Tana holds it depends whether it's a baby boy or a baby girl, because you make... When a woman has a baby boy, so the homolos is 40 days. When a woman has a baby girl, the homolos is 80 days. So if it's a baby boy, the first 7 days are you make tuma, and the next 33 days are you make toha. So that's 7 and 33 is 40 days. If it's a baby girl, the first 14 days are you make tuma, the next 60 days, shishimam sheshizamim, teshavit, make toha ra, that's you make toha. So one Tana is of the opinion that if it's a baby girl, you need that the pregnancy should be at least 80 days. If it's a baby boy, you need the pregnancy to be 40 days. We don't accept that opinion. That's Xeris HaKasa by Tumah V'Tara. We assume La Locha, it's after, it can't be before the 40th day. And after the 40th day, it takes also, it's around the 43rd or the 44th day. The doctors have books where they have photographs what the fetus looks like. So it doesn't have the Tzuras Havlad. It has to be 40 days plus, it should have Tzuras Havlad. Tzuras Havlad, it's very tiny, after 43, 44 days. It's like an inch by an inch, the whole blood. But it already looks like a gingerbread man. It looks, you see the legs and the arm. It has the beginning of the shape of a human being, even though it's only an inch by an inch, it's tiny. So that's around, whether it's a boy or a girl, that's around a little after 40 days, around 44 days. So there will be Tumas Meis. Even though the Magen Avraham holds Mikra Din, there's no mitzvah kvura, but there will be Tumas Meis on Yishum Tumas Kayanim. You shouldn't leave a Meis around the house. So let's say they amputated an Eivim and a Chai from a living person. They had to cut off a limb. He had a gangrene in a leg or something. They had to cut it off. So you're not allowed to leave it around the house because Kayanim may walk into the house and they won't realize. Eivim and a Chai is metamek emes, so that's not right to leave around a nafel. A nafel, there's no avelus, and a nafel, according to the Mikra Adin, we say there's no chi of kvura, it's only a chumra. After she feels movement, then there were machman to bury the Kavi Yisrael, but before she felt the movement, even after the memyom, there's no chi of kvura, Mikra Adin, it's just a minig lahachmer. But Tumas Ames, there is. So Mishum Takola Lekohanim, you have to bury the mace. But that's the shaila. You have to bury him because he sold it'll cost a fortune of money. Or can you let the government bury in a secular cemetery? So that's the meaning is that after the mother feels movement, then you have the kvura the kevi Yisrael. Yeah. So that's this daf of Gemara. The Gemara spoke about that. Yeah, so the Gemara has, how do we paskan on this shayla? The Machlekes HaTanaim and the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva considers a sfeika de dina, whether you have to do pinyan aben on Yom Lamed or Yom Lamed Amse. It says, if the father gave the money to the kain before the Yom Lamed, which he shouldn't have done, he spoke less because he won't be able to save the bracha. If he give the money before Yom Lamed, So he can't say the bracha in Amikayim in the mitzvah. No matter comes Yom Lamara, Yom Lamar Aleph, he's not doing any Maisa mitzvah. You only say a bracha when you perform a Maisa mitzvah. So that's not right to give. But the Mishnah talks about the father did shalak and did. He gave the money before. So if the father of the baby gave the pidyon aden cash to the kohen before the Yom Lamed, then the baby died on Yom Lamed. So then the kohen is muchzik on the money. And Rabbi Kiva holds that that's a sfeik hadin. And maybe the pidyon aden begins on Yom Lamed, but the baby survived till the beginning of Yom Lamed. So then the kohen can keep it. But if the father didn't give the money yet, and the baby died on Yom Lamed, so the father is muchzik on the money. Rabbi Kiva says it's a tzveik of the din. Maybe the chiyah pidyon aden only sets in a yom lamed aleph. So the father's not mechuyev to give the money. That's what Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah. We don't pass like that. We pass on that as b'toras vaday. The chiyah pidyon aden only begins on the yom lamed aleph. Yeah. We mentioned that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Yom lamed aleph means according to the calendar. Let's say the baby was born a minute before shkia. In the summertime, shkia is very late, around 8:30. In some countries in Europe, it's 10:30. Shkia is 10:30. Depends where you live. So let's say the baby was born a minute before shkia, late in the day, and then if you do the pidyon aden on the yom lamed, we pass can you do pidyon aden yom lamed aleph? It won't yet be chov tes yom yud beishores tash tzag chalokim. So that's an opinion. Shach quotes all of this. So there's an opinion in the Rishonim that's the amount of time that it takes between the moilad of the Levana for 1 month and the next month, the average between one moilad and the other is chavtes yom yud beis shoyes, 29 and a half days, and tash tzag chalokim, in a few minutes. So some say it's not sufficient that you waited till the yom lamed aleph on the calendar. The baby was born a minute before shkia, then you want to do the pinyon aben, leil, Lamed Aleph. That's a, in Shulchan Aruch it says the minig is you do pinyon aden by yom. You don't do pinyon aden by laila. The night before yom Lamed Aleph, you don't do pinyon. Why not? So the achrayim have this. So they say six different explanations. Why? You give different explanations. So some say the simplest explanation, probably the correct one, is the Gemara says that blind, the Gemara says in the end of Yuma, blind people don't enjoy the food as much as people who can see. Because when you see the colorful food, your mouth starts to water, to salivate, and then you enjoy the food better. So whatever you're going to eat at nighttime, you don't see the food. So you're not going to enjoy it so much. So the mini gives you make a suda by pidyon aden. V'ikar aden, there's no chiv suda. By bris mila, there is a chiv suda. Because the Gemara quotes the pasuk and tell him sasa anocha limasecha kimotzi sholol rav, that refers to the bris milah that David HaMelech entered into the Beis HaMerchatz and he took off his tzitzit, he took off his clothes, and he felt that he's orim in a mitzvah, he doesn't have any mitzvah. And then Niska, he reminded himself that he has the bris milah, so he was so excited. Sasa anocha limasecha, bris milah is called limasecha because in Chumash Bereishis when HaKadosh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu and he tells him he should fulfill the mitzvah milah, it says Vayomer Hashem. It doesn't say Vayaber. It says Vayomer. So that's called Sasa Anochi Adim Rasecha. The Anoch is so excited about the mitzvah that was given by Amira. So because Bris Mila was given, because Bris Mila has an inyan of Simcha with it, so that's why you mechuyev to have a suda. That's considered a sudas mitzvah. That's why the Gemara has a discussion. At a chasana or a sheva brachas, when you bench, say Baruch Halakena Shasimcha b'ma'ono. You say Shasimcha b'ma'ono. So the Gemara has a shaila. What about when you have a bris? They also say by the bench Baruch Halakena. When you have a bris, and there's also a chiyav simcha, and you have a suda. So do you say also Baruch HaLakena Shah Simcha Bima Ono? So the Gemara says you don't, because Tzara Dinuka, because the baby was crying. But otherwise he would have said Shah Simcha Bima Ono. So some Rishonim say, what about by the time you have the Pidyon Aben? It's a couple of weeks later. So the baby's not going to be crying then. So then you should say Shah Simcha Bima Ono when you have the Suda by the Bris. And we reject that, because by Pidyon Aben there's no Chiyav Simcha in the first place. There never was a half a minute to say Shah Simcha Bima Ono. The Rishonim have it in the beginning of Ksubis, when they talk about Sheva Brachas, and you say the nusach shasimcha b'mono. So the Gemara said, why don't you say by bris? The Gemara said, sari de'inuka. So the Rishonim on the side of the Rosh, and that goes ashri, they raise this issue. By the time it comes to Pidyan, then the baby's not crying anymore, so you should say, shasimcha, and they reject it. They say, no, there's no haramina. By Pidyan, then, there's no chiyav simcha, no chiyav simcha, there's no chiyav to have a bris, to have a party. So why do we have a party? So the Rishonim say, why? Because it doesn't look like a mitzvah. When you shake a lulav, when you wear tefillin, when you wear tzitzis, it's something out of the ordinary. The rachim don't do it. But pidyon, you give over money to somebody. It looks like a secular activity. It doesn't look like a mitzvah to give over money. There's no din you have to give davka money. You can give a shavi kesef also. But since usually people give cash, and it doesn't look like it's a mitzvah, so we want to schmaltz it up a little bit. We want to enhance it. So you start the suda, and then in the middle of the suda, the suda is to make it look like a mitzvah. And then the kohen takes a cup of wine and he says, bar piagof, but there's no brocha lakos, to make it look more like a mitzvah. You enhance it by making it look like a mitzvah. So some of the, they give six or seven different reasons why you don't have pinyan ben balayla. So the whole thing is only a minute. So one of the reasons why is because balayla, it's dark and you won't see the food. So you're not going to enjoy the food. So that's why you should have the sudas pinyan ben bayom. You shouldn't have the pinyan ben balayla because you won't see the food, you won't enjoy it. So then many posts can say, but if you turn on the lights, if you have lights lit at nighttime, so laila kayom yoyer, so then they will see the food, so you will enjoy it. So then you should be able to have pidyon ben balayla. So they give other reasons. So they give a reason because pidyon ben is zecha lemakas b'chayris, and makas b'chayris was bayom, so therefore pidyon ben should be bayom. Makas b'chayris was bayom, and it says vayibachtzia laila is at midnight. How do you say makas b'chayris was bayom? So they quote the first line of Maseches Smachas. Maseches Smachas was not from the days of the Tanaim. It was written in the days of the Geonim. All the Masechtas Ketanim, like Maseches Tzitzis, Maseches Sofrim, Maseches Gerim, all of these were written in the days of the Geonim. So Maseches Smachas has all of Hilchos Avelos. It's a euphemism. Maseches Smachas really means Hilchos Avelos. So the first line before Maseches, the introductory line is, Makas Bechoyres began at midnight, and the Bechori Mitzrayim were in the throes of death until the morning, and then they died by Yom. That's the opening line of Maseches Smachas. So since the Makas Bechoris, the Gemar, the punchline, maybe they were brain dead at Chatzos, but really dead was only in the morning. So since Makas Bechoris, the clincher was by Yom when they died, so therefore you should have the opinion of Ben by Yom. But it doesn't say in the Gemar, it's a minik. The whole thing is a minik. Others have a different reason that you need a bezdin, and a bezdin is only by him. What do you come up to say you need a bezdin? Zayi mishpat hakona meisam has a din of mishpat. Matas kona have a din of mishpat, and mishpat has to be by him. All the six, seven reasons they give, each reason is weaker than the other one. But that's the meaning, that you don't make a pidyon ben balayla. I remember once it was Kurtz Freitag, one of the secretaries of YU who lives in the neighborhood. Now they moved already. They used to live in the neighborhood, so they had a grandchild, and the Pidyon HaBen, the Yom Lamaral, was going to be on Friday. It was the shortest Friday of the year, and nobody was going to show up. Hardly anybody was going to show up to the Pidyon HaBen. So Rabbi Schwab told them, they used to daven in Broya Shul, so Rabbi Schwab told them they should make the Pidyon HaBen on Thursday night. So that's what we're machmir, that it's not enough to wait till Yom Lamed Aleph. You should wait till Yom Laman Aleph plus to make sure that it should be Choftas Yom Yud Beishoes Tash Tzag Chalotim. It should be the full amount of time. It meant Chodesh Vamayla. Mechodesh means on the calendar, a whole month went by, a whole full 30 days went by, you already entered into the 31st day. So that can be the 31st day. The baby was born a minute before Shkia, 31 days ago, and now you're doing the Pidyon HaBen. A minute after Tzeisa Kochom on the 31st day, that's not going to be, that's going to be 29 full days, but you don't even have 12 hours. You're just going to have a minute before Shkia on the first day. A minute after Tzeisa Kochom on the 31st day, there's going to be 29 full days in an hour or two. There's not even Yud Beishoes. So it says, L'chatchili, you should wait. Not only you should wait till Yom Lamanal, you should wait to make sure that they have Chaptas Yom Yid Beishoes Tash Tzag Chalotim. I remember years ago, There was a Pinyan Aden on Chol HaMoed Pesach, and they asked me to speak before the Pinyan Aden, because they figured out when the Choftes Yom Yud Beshoes Tashzag Chalokim was. And then in the middle of my talk, they slipped me a note, could I please speak another 10 minutes? It's not yet time. I should add on more to the drasha, because they were machmer. That baby already made a Pinyan Aden on his baby. He already had a second baby boy. He had the Pinyan Aden on the first baby. He just recently had a bris on his second baby boy. He just got married 2 years ago. He already has two babies. So that's l'maisa what we do. So the Gemara says, what's the din by avelus? If a baby, you don't know whether the baby was kolala chadosh avana. So in a Torah you say, roi v'lodas avlad ma'alya. So even if the baby dies within 30 days, and you should observe avelus. But with the Rabbanon, they made a chumrah that you should consider it as a suffix nefel. So usually they say it l'chumrah. So let's say if the woman was pregnant and the husband died, leaving no descendants, leaving no children from their previous marriage or anything, and then the wife had a baby and the baby dies within 30 days, so you treat it l'chumrah with the Rabbanon as if it's a suffix nefel, and you require chalitza, unless she married a kohen. Unless you married a kohen, then you're going to ruin the shidduch. So then you revert back to the din d'oraisa. You don't do the chumra. So, but because they wanted to be machmer with the rabbanon, so they had to come up with this kula. So the mekel and hilchos avelus. So if a baby is born, you don't know whether it was kolal chadosh or not, and the baby died within 30 days. It wasn't kol shushos shloshim yom ba'adam ein anefel. The baby didn't survive 30 days, so it should really be a suffix nefel. Mid the Rabbanan, we're machmet to treat it like that. But here you're saying that the Rabbanan, you don't observe avelus, you make it. So that's what the Magen Mishnah, the beginning of Hilchos Yibam HaChalitza, says the Chachomim wanted to introduce a chumra, the chumra, to say that the woman needs chalitza, unless she got married to a kohen. But if she got married to a Yisrael or a Levi, we say the chumra, she should require chalitza. So in order to have that chumra, so they had to put in a kula. So the kula was that one doesn't observe avelus. So the shaila is, what if the baby died? What if the baby died on the Yom Lamed? What if the baby died? We're talking about a kula midrabanan. In order to be mechazik, the chumra midrabanan, they had to put in a kula. So they're not going to be mekel on a din deraisa, because menator we assume roiv lodas of vlad bar kayama. So, but we're going to be mekel on din of the rabbanan. So avelus is in gans and the rabbanan, so we're mekel. So the Gemara says, what if the baby dies? What if the baby dies on the yom lamed aleph? So even though you don't know one way or the other, kol hachadoshav. So that's it survived to the Yom Lamed Al, so it's a Vlad Bar Kayama. What if the baby died on Yom Lamed? So Yom Lamed, according to Rabbi Akiva, is a Sofek. And according to us, it's not a Sofek. According to us, for sure we would assume that it's a Nefal. You have to wait till the Yom Lamed Al. So the Gemara says, Aloha Gedera Meka Ba'oval. That's what Shmuel came up with it in. Whenever there's a machloikas, yochid v'rabim, we always say yochid v'rabim halachik v'rabim, we follow the majority opinion. But when it comes to avelus, it din is any suffix avelus, any suffix koldahu. What is it called suffix koldahu? A suffix avelus would be 50-50 suffix. Or machloikas ha-paskim 50-50. Half of the paskim hold one way, half of the paskim hold another way. Or there's a suffix whether that's my brother or he's not my brother. We're not sure a woman remarried after the first husband died. You don't know whether this child, whether she became pregnant from the first husband or second husband. And I'm a child from the second husband. So this is a suffix, whether this fellow is my brother or not. So strictly speaking, whenever there's a suffix on avelus, you go to kula, even if it's not a suffix 50-50, nowhere near 50-50. It's yochid v'rabim. And usually yochid v'rabim alochid k'rabim by a din d'rabbanan. You don't say halachik divra mekel by a din derabbanon. Suffik derabbanon the kula means if it's 50-50, approximately 50-50. But it's yochid v'rabim, that's not a suffik. You follow the rabbim. But when it comes to avelus, that's Shmuel's din kolam. Halachik divra mekel ba'avol. If there's any suffik koldahu, Igal Kula. That's that expression, Safik Oldu, that was formulated by the Ran on the Rif at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. The Ran on the Rif there is not talking about Abel, he's talking about Orla B'chutz Loretz. In the Chumash, it only says, that's why the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. The Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin says, all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in our Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Shums and Maises, Shemitah, Vyodva, Lekashikhapeh, Peret, Ololos, all these things, all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So it says there's an exception to the rule. Orlo b'chutz l'oretz. If you plant a tree or a bush where fruits or berries grow, so even if a lot of times nothing will grow the first 3 years, but even if something does grow, the din is that you're not allowed to eat it. It's asa b'achil and asa b'ano. That's called orlo. So the pasuk in Chumash and Parshas Kedoshim reads, Kisavoy al ha'aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael and the Titan called it's Michael, and you plant a fruit-bearing tree, v'haratam alosai, the first 3 years you're not allowed to eat it, and lo yeyochem means you're not allowed to get any hanah. So the pasuk only talks about orla b'eretz yisrael kisavayel haaretz and itaytem kol etzmach. What about orla b'chutz l'aretz? So the Mishnah says it's noyeg mehalocha. The Gemara is not sure. Machlekes hataram. What does it mean? Machlekes hamaroyim and the Gemara. What do you mean halocha? Halocha means mehilchus medina. It's only osam the rabbanan b'chutz l'aretz. The rasam itaminik. It's not minatara. Oh no, maybe halacha means halacha l'moshe misinai. So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that orla b'chutz l'aretz is halacha l'moshe misinai. Orla in Eretz Yisrael is a din d'araisa. That's the pasuk in the Chumash. And orla b'chutz l'aretz is only halacha l'moshe misinai. What's the difference? Halacha l'moshe misinai is a din d'araisa. A din d'araisa, you should say sofik d'araisa l'chumer. Usually, if you have a shayla where the din is d'araisa d'rabban, not kamin will be. What if you have a sofik? Safik the Raisa Luchum is Safik the Rabban Lukuk. Like the Gmar Bracha is Tavchofa the base as a Shaila. Are women a Machuyev to bench Benatar are only mid the Rabbanon? What's an Afkamina? So the Paskim say, a Safik, a woman is Mesupik, whether she ate a Kazaiza, whether she doesn't remember if she benched or not. So if Bichas Hamazan is the Raisa by women, so Safik the Raisa Luchum. And if the Chiyav Bichas Hamazan by women is only the Rabbanon, Rashi does give different suggestions. What's the issue? Why should Bichas HaMazon be the Rabban? It's not a mitzvah, Shazman Grama. They give different suggestions. So that should have been the normal nafkamina. If Orla B'chutz L'aretz is Halacha Mashem is the Raisa, then you say Sofik the Raisa L'chumra. If Orla B'chutz L'aretz is only Mehilchas Medina, it's only by the Rabbanon, or only a minute, then a Sofik should be L'kula. So the Gemara says wrong. Even if you hold Orla the way it's generally accepted today, Orla b'chutz l'aretz halacha l'moshe misinai sveika l'kula. The Gemara says kach nemra halacha. That's how the halacha l'moshe misinai says bado osur sveika muta. Vada orla b'chutz l'aretz is osur, and the sofik orla b'chutz l'aretz is muta. What that means, that's a further machlokes. So the Rambam understood that that means sofik the rabbana l'kula applies to any din halacha l'moshe misinai. Anything that's only halacha l'moshe misinai is sveika l'kula. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs attacks the Rambam. He doesn't tell you where the Rambam is. He claims that the Rambam said this. The Rambam holds that any Sofik halacha l'moshe misinai l'kula. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban thinks, no, it's only a local din in Orla b'chutz l'aretz. Kach nemer halacha, that halacha l'moshe misinai v'orla b'chutz l'aretz was one package deal. That vado osur and sveika mutar. So the Ran on that Gemara, when the Gemara says Kach Nemar Halacha, unlike every other din deraisa that Sveik Aluchum is Sveik deraisa Aluchumra, so Orla b'chutz l'aretz Halacha Moshe Misinai, that even though it's a din deraisa, Sveik is Mutta. Sveik is Mutta. So that's what the Ran points out on the Rif over there. He says it's not like Sveik derabon l'kula, that it only applies when it's 50-50, even if it's only a Sveik koldu. So that's what the Gemara says, even if you have an issue where there's a machlekes hatanaim regarding Orla b'Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael we be paska l'chumra. But in b'chutz l'aretz, since there was a minority, there existed a minority opinion that Orla doesn't apply, even though that opinion was outvoted as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, but in chutz l'aretz, I say, if there's a suffix called the chutz, it's enough to be mekel. So that's what we say by that's the Deloshan Angamah by Orla, Kala Mekel Ba'or, it's Halacha Kemaisa B'chutz L'aretz. If there's a minority opinion that Orla should be Mutter in a certain case, in Eretz Yisrael, even though we don't accept it, we follow the majority opinion. But in Chutz La'aretz, we would be Mekel. So the same in Avelus, we say, Kol HaMekel, if there's any Ashitas HaYochid that's Mekel in Avelus, since we say, Eilu V'Eilu D'Vilikim Chaim, so this is relevant. What do you mean, Eilu V'Eilu D'Vilikim Chaim? So usually what it means is, when you study Beishamai Shitas, even though you know in advance that we don't Paschal like Beishamai, that doesn't constitute Bittul Torah. That's I have a sefer, and I know the one who wrote the sefer doesn't know what he's talking about. He's an Amoritz, and everything he says is wrong. So if you read the sefer, that's Bittul Torah. That's not Talmud Torah. Maybe he gets reward. There was one Tana, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, there was one Tana who used to darshan called Es V'Yesha Bat Torah. Gemara says Shimon Hamsani, another version, the Chemi Hamsani, there was a Tana darshan every Es. V'Yesha's brother came Es HaShemayim, Es HaOretz. Every time he says Es, it's marvelous something. And then he came to the Pasuk, Es HaShem Lakecha Tira, Pirish. So he backed out from all of the drasha. Everything is wrong. You can't be marvelous anything. You only have to have Yirah Shemayim. There's no one else that you have to have Yirah Shemayim, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he backed out. So the Talmidim said, what's going to be? We have notebooks full of drushas that are all the S. So he said, Kishem Shekibalti Yischar Al Adrisha, Kachani Akabel Yischar Al Adrisha. At the time I was giving all the drushas on S, I thought it was correct. So you get reward for attempting to learn Torah, even if you learn the wrong pshat. But once we realize that it's the wrong pshat, that we should put it all in Sheamus. We should get rid of it. It's wrong. It's false Torah. It's wrong. So you get reward for attempting to give the right pshat, but it's not Talmud Torah. But if you have Eilu Divilikim Chayim, Beishamai had a legitimate shita. So when we spend time learning shitas Beishamai, don't say it's Bittul Torah. We say, you get reward for learning Shitas Beishamai, even though we know in advance, we're not going to paskan like Beishamai. So whenever you have a case like that, that you say, Eilu V'Eilu, then we say, Halach G'dev HaMeikol Ba'ovel, Halach G'dev HaMeikol Be'orlo B'chutz L'Arts. Any Sofik Koldehu, and it's considered a Sofik Koldehu, because when you have a Yochid V'Rabim, we paskan like the Rabim. Doesn't mean that the Yochid was wrong. Sometimes he's dead wrong. He had the facts wrong, or his logic is wrong. But many times they say, Eilu V'Eilu Divrei L'Kim Chaim, the Shitas HaYochid, we don't accept the Shitas HaYochid, but it's Divrei L'Kim Chaim, even Halacha L'Maaseh. So the Shitas HaYochid would be enough to consider it a Sofik Koldehu. Yeah, so that's by Avelas like that. There's an interesting Tosfos in Erevin. There's one daf in Erevin around Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, where the Gemara gives you the whole list. Rameh Rab Yudah Alachik Rab Yudah, Rameh Rab Shimon Alachik Rab Shimon, they give you every time there's a machlok, this time, that time, this Allah, that Amara, how do you paskin? A whole on the base and an Amar Aleph, a long Arichas. So Tosfos over there has a little comment, and the Ramban was a doctor. Ramban wrote a sefer, Torah Sa'odim, all the dinim that the doctors have to know. And he has all of Hilchas Avelus there, and he has all the Hilchas Tisha B'Av there. So the Ramban and Torah Sa'odim quotes the Tosfos that's printed by us on the daf. A lot of times if Shani quote Tosfos, we don't have it printed on the daf. Because when Bamberger printed the Talmud, he had somebody decide which Tosfos to put on the page. So sometimes they left out a major Tosfos. This one appears on the daf in Erevin, on that daf. So he quotes Tosfos, the Ramban and Torah Sa'odim quotes Tosfos in Erevin, quotes the Tshuvas HaGoinim. The Goinim were of the opinion that sitting Shiva is only with the Rabbonim the last 6 days. But the first day of Shiva, if it's Yom HaMisa, the HaKvura, if the person was buried the same day that he died, so the remainder of the day, one observes Shiva, Yom HaMisa, HaKvura, Avelis HaMishan is Daraisa. And the Mechaber Paskans like that, Aloch HaMaisa, if it's Farda. Ashkenazim, the Ramot Paskans for Ashkenazim, not so. We Paskan that even Avelis HaMishan, if it's Yom HaMisa, HaKvura, is also only the Rabbana. Nothing of Avelis is Daraisa. So Tosfos quotes this chiddush when the Tshuvas HaGoinim. They were of the opinion that Avelus Yom Rishon, if it's Yom HaMisa Bakvura, is Deraisa. But if you have a Sofik and Avelus, it's Lukula, even if it's a Sofik Deraisa. Sofik Avelus Lahakel, what Shmuel said, Halacha Devar Meikel Ba'Ovel, you always go Lukula, even if it's only a Sofik Oldu, it's not even a 50-50 Sofik. It's Rov HaPoskim hold that there is a Chiyuv Avelus. And only me would hold there's not. They say Halacha Devar Meikel Ba'Ovel. So the Goyim say that's even when it's Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa, it has nothing to do with Sofik Derabbanu Lekul. Even when Avelus is Daraisa, still It's a din that Safek Aveva says Lakula. It's probably based on a pasuk. That's what the Mishkan is Yankiv discussed. Mishkan is Yankiv was from the early Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin in the early years when they founded Volozhin Yeshiva. So the Mishkan is Yankiv says it must be based on a pasuk. So he guesses is probably the pasuk in Parshas Emor. It says Kohanim are not permitted to be metamei lemeisin. Kim l'sheir hakar aveilav. It's one of the seven relatives. Then it says lo yitamot. Then it's permissible to be metamei, and we pass on it's a mitzvah. Lo yitamot is a mitzvah. It's mechayiv too. So that mitzvah, that's how Rabbi Akiva says lo yitamot. Rabbi Shmuel has lo yitamot is a rishus. Rabbi Akiva has lo yitamot is a chayiv. The kohen is mechayiv to be metapel and nikvura, to be metamei lemeisin in order to be metapel and nikvura. So the Torah's Kohanim darshans on that pasuk. Why does it say every korev single that love of lima loch lachoso apsula shelohaisa leish the bino lebito? It mentions all the seven relatives. So it says each relative is mentioned tells you another prat, another chiddush. So the Torah's Kohanim, the sifra and that pasuk in parsha, the beginning of Amor, the first paragraph in Amor says, why does it say imo? The baby comes out from the mother's rechem. So that's vadai. So the only time you have a din of tumas koyanim, the koyan is mechayiv to be metamei to zayin kreivim, if it's a vadai. If it's a suffik, then there's no chayiv to be metamei. You're not metamei if it's a suffik. And the mokem for avilas being deraisa is also the pasuk lo yitama. Because the reason why the koyanim are metamei to the zayin kreivim is like the Rambam writes, kam machamurihi mitzvus avilas. The mitzvah of Avelis is so chomer. In America, there are Jews, that's all they observe. They don't observe Shabbos Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha. But Avelis, they do observe a little bit. Kaddish, Yiske, Yartzai, Avelis. The religion revolves about the dead. By Orthodox Jews, the religion does not revolve about the dead. It's a very small part of the religion. The religion is always V'chai Bohem. It revolves about living. We stay away from the dead. We don't want to be Dorish of Ameis. But the pasuk says the only time the Kohanim are metamei lemeisim if it's like imo, just like imo is vadai, the baby bounces out of the mother's rechem, that's vadai. So too, you don't say sofek avelus lechum, you say sofek avelus lekula. So that's the mocker, even a sofek koldehu, even though avelus is deraisa, it's learned up in that pasuk. So that's what the Mishnah is Yankov guesses. He didn't have a Ramban in Torah Sodom. Now, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer printed the Ramban. We have the Torah Sodom. That's the pasuk that the Ramban quotes. The Ramban quoted that Tosfos in Erevin, who quoted the Tshuvas HaGoyim, that even though the Goyim were of the opinion that Avelis Hamishon is Daraisa, if it happens to be Yom HaMisa the Hagvura, if it's the same day, the Gvura was on the same day, so then the observance of Avelis Hamishon of Shiva is Daraisa. So the Goyim say, if you have a Suffolk on the first day of Avelis, you also go to Kula. Safek Avelis Lahokam is not because Avelis is a din derabban. Even if it's talking about Avelis Hamishon is deraisa, he's still Safek Avelis Lakul. Moshe Feinstein has a questionable tshuva. He has a tshuva. An oval is also lotzitz mipesach beiso. All of Shivi, not allowed to leave his house. So what happens, let's say, the family is sitting Shiva in America, and one of the children went at the Oren Teretz Yisroel, and they buried the mace. Can he come back? And the kvura took place whatever night. Can he come back the same day? Can he come back to America the same day? So Moshe has a tshuva. He thinks he should be machmer. Avelis Hamishon should be machmer. He overlost a lot of mepesel beis. Wherever he's sitting shiva, he should stay there till the end of the Avelis Hamishon, when the Avelis Hamishon is up. And after it's up, then you can be mekel that he's allowed to come back to Chutz Lords. Why was he more machmer in Avelis Hamishon? The Ramah Paskin's Avelis Hamishon is for Ashkenazim. It's all the Rabbanim. Everything is only the Rabbanim. So he's probably Machmer because out of respect for those opinions, the Mechaber's opinion, the Chacham Nisvar, that Avelis Hamishon is Raisa. But he's Mekel on the rest of Shiva to come back to America, to sit Shiva with the rest of the family. So it means that there's room to be Mekel. So if there's room to be Mekel, he's Mekel on the first day also. The Goyim said, Allah Gedevah Mekel Ba'ovel even applies, and Avelis Hamishon, that is their Isa. That's why people have tainus against that Shuvah Rav Moshe. Why did he distinguish Allah Isa between Avelis Hamishon and not Yom Rishon? Number one, Ashkenazim, Rav Moshe Paskin's Ashkenazi Psak. Number one, Ashkenazim hold even Avelis Hamishon is their Rabbanon. And even if you hold like the Gaonim, like the Chachmei Svarah, the Mechaber, and the Rambam and the Rif and the Gaelim, the Rabbi Elis HaMishon and the Raisa, you still say Safik Adelis Lekula, even Adelis HaMishon. So that's a questionable truth. Anyway, these are the topics that Taisus covers on this daf. Okay. The next Mishnah has a new din. Then tell someone out. The Mishnah has a din. Mesa ad betel shloshim. There's a baby is born in it, Pidyaraben, and the father of the baby died before the Yom Laman Aleph. So normally we do Pidyaraben on Yom Laman Aleph. It's rare that a father is going to give the money to the Kohen and tell him, if you give the money toch lamed yom, you can't say the bracha, because you're not mekayim the mitzvah till it comes Yom Laman Aleph, and the Kohen still has the money. And you can't say the bracha on Yom Laman Aleph because you're not doing any maisa mitzvah. That's why if the Yom Laman Aleph falls out on Shabbos, you have to wait till after Shabbos. We assume you don't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. That's questionable. We discuss you should be permitted to do Pidyon HaBen. Don't give money. Money is muktzah. Don't give money. Give Shavu Kesef. Give Svarim that are worth that amount of money. But the minig is for many centuries already. We don't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. So when do you do the Pidyon HaBen? So they quote the Trumas HaDeshen. If you got to do it, give the money to the Kohen before Shabbos. He can't say a bracha because the Pidyon HaBen mitzvah is not completed till it comes Yom Lamed Aleph on Shabbos. When it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, can't say a bracha either because you're not doing the Ma'isa mitzvah. You have to say the bracha immediately before you're about to give the money to the Kohen. That's what it means. It doesn't say Kohen Masiyos. It means immediately before. So it's not the right thing to do. The father should give the money before the Yom Lamed, before the Yom Lamed Aleph. So the Mishnah has a din. What if the father died within Yom before the Yom Lamed Aleph, and you don't know whether the father did Pidyon HaBen or not, so you assume that he probably did not do Pidyon HaBen, and when the child grows up, he should make his own Pidyon HaBen. When the kid becomes by mitzvah, he'll do his own Pidyon HaBen. Or maybe Bezin should do the Pidyon HaBen on his behalf. That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the child is a Yosem, he has no father. So the mother is not mechuyev to do Pidyon HaBen. The mother is not mechuyev to do Bris Milah either. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first Perek, has two brises, one after the other. The father is mechuyev to take care of the bris of the baby. The father didn't take care, then the bezim should take care of the bris. Bezim didn't take care, so Klal Yisrael should take care of it. If nobody took care of the bris milah until the kid becomes bar mitzvah, then it's the kid's own responsibility. He should take care of it himself. He should see to it that he gets a moil, and he takes care of it. Then the second Brisa says, what about Pidyon HaBen? So it says, the father has a chiyuv to do Pidyon HaBen. If the father didn't do it, when the child becomes bar mitzvah, he should do his own Pidyon HaBen. So the two Brisas are back to back, one after the other. How come by the bris milah, it says that the father doesn't take care of the bris, the bezin should take care. If the bezin doesn't take care, then Klal Yisrael should take care. If nobody took care of the bris, then when the baby becomes by mitzvah, he has the responsibility to take care. By Pidyon HaBen, it says the father should do it. The father didn't do the baby does it himself when he becomes 13. Why doesn't it say that bezin should do? Bezin doesn't do, Klal Yisrael should do. So the Rivosh came up with a chiddush. The Rivosh lived at the same time as the Ran, late Rishonim, or late Rishonim. So the Rivosh came up, and the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes it, Rivosh came up with a chiddush. The only one who can do Pidyon HaBen is the father or the baby himself. You can't have Bezin, you can't have someone else do. If you do a Bris Milah, the Bris Milah is on the baby. So even if a stranger does it, even without permission, someone comes and did a Bris Milah, so the baby has a Bris Milah, it's taken care of. But by Pidyon HaBen, you're giving over money. It's only meaningful if the father does it or the child does his own Pidyon HaBen. But Bezin's going to do, that's, there is no such thing. So that's what the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch Simishin Hei. All the dinim of Pidyon HaBen, Yeredei Chelgimel Simishin Hei. The Shach, Tain is that it doesn't make any sense. He said, you never heard of a din there, Mishnah, it's about Parecho v'shal Chaveiro. A person owes a loiva, owes money to the malve, and a third party, a good Samaritan, comes, and he knows the loiva doesn't have money to pay, he pays the money to the malve. So he says, over here, it's like someone else is going to give the money for Pidyon HaBen. It's like Parecha v'shal Chaveiro. And the Vilna Gaon in the Bi'ur HaGra usually doesn't give his own shita. Vilna Gaon left notebooks, So there was one notebook where he has his own hachrayas, he has his own psak. Most of the notebooks, the Bi'ur Agro just gives Bar Mekaymus. You can't tell from the Bi'ur Agro if he agrees or he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. He just gives you the Bar Mekaymus. But once in a while, when he wants to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, so he'll write Ayin. Like over here, he writes Ayin Shach. Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, in the name of the Rivosh, nobody else can do the Pidyaben. So the Shach disagrees. So the Vilna Gaon writes Ayin Shach. He doesn't like this din. A lot of times the Vilna Gaon would say, once in a while he says, Ayin Zohar. Tells you, look in the Zohar that we shouldn't paskan like the Shulchan Aruch. Or Ayin Taz, look in the Taz who disagrees with Ayin Moger Avram. Whenever someone says, here, the Vilna Gaon writes Ayin Shach. He said, we shouldn't paskan like this din. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, and Rav Soloveitchik said, he remembers also, the meaning of Lithuania was that when a baby would be a Yosef, there's no father, and you have to do Pinyan Ben, the Bezdin would make the Pinyan Ben. They would make it with a bracha, the Pinyan Ben, on the Yom Lamed Aleph. In Hungary and Galicia, they followed the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer said, it's a Sfeikat Adina, whether we should paskan like the Rivosh, that no one else can do Pinyan Ben, only the baby when he grows up, or like the Shach and the Gro that he can do. So the Chasam Sofer instituted the practice that on the Yom Laman Aleph, the Bezdin should do Pinyan Ben, believe bracha. When the child becomes Bar Mitzvah, he should do again the Pinyan Ben, believe bracha. Be sofik. Maybe the Pinyan Ben that the Bezdin did on Yom Laman Aleph was good enough. So he should do twice Pinyan Ben. You should do on the Yom Lamed Aleph, maybe we don't accept the Rivosh. You should do it on the Bar Mitzvah, but maybe he was, the Bezdin was Yotzei earlier. So each time you should do Pinyan Ben Bali Broch. And Rav Soloveitchik said, like the Aruch HaShulchan, that the meaning of Lithuania was not so. The meaning was like the Shach. The Shach lived in Vilna, and the Vilna Gaon lived in Vilna. So they say that the meaning was that the against the Ramah, that the Bezdin does do the Pinyan Ben. So again over here, so the Mishnah has a case. The father died within the Lamed Yom, and the child grows up, and he has to do Pinyan Ben. We don't know whether the father ever did Pinyan Ben. So the likelihood is that he did not do Pinyan Ben, because he's going to do, before the Yom Lamed Aleph, he can't say a bracha. So the father probably did not do Pinyan Ben. So that's when the mission says, Mesa b'tel shloshim yom, father died before the Yom Lamed Aleph, is b'cheskas, chazoka means a rubi d'leisa kamon. We assume the word chazok has six different meanings in different contexts. As means different things. Rabbi Gottman points out here, becheskas means it's a rubid alisa kamon. The chazok is, probability is that it was not taken care of. Shalai nifta. Achiyavir aisha nifta. Unless we have someone going to say, I remember the father did do pidyon aden before he died, before the Yom Lamed Aleph. But what if Mesa Av, what if the father died? Lachishloshim Yom, father died after 30 days. The minigolem is that you'd make the Pinyan Ben on Yom Laman Aleph, the first available day. Unless Yom Laman Aleph is Shabbos, then you wait till after Shabbos. There are also two minhagim. If the Yom Laman Aleph is Shabbos, when do you do the Pinyan Ben? Do you make on Metzoy Shabbos at night, or do you make the Pinyan Ben on Sunday in the morning? So some say, no, we never do Pinyan Ben Balayla. And others say, what are you talking about? That you don't do Pinyan Ben Balayla, all the six reasons that they gave are all Shvacha reasons. The whole thing is only a minute, not to do Pinyan Ben Balayla, for all the reasons. But if the Pinyan Ben should have taken place on Shabbos, and you're postponing already the after Shabbos, so you shouldn't postpone it till Sunday daytime. Maybe more correct, that you do the Pinyan Ben Leil Matzoi Shabbos. So that's two versions. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says one way. I think the Kitzur says that you do the Pinyan Ben Matzoi Shabbos at night. And the Chayyadim says that you do the Pinyan Ben on Yom Shloshim Bayom. I remember a cousin of mine had a first baby was a boy, and the Yom Lamed Aleph was on Shabbos, so they couldn't do it on Shabbos. So they did the Pinyan Ben on Sunday late in the afternoon. That's not right. They already postponed it. It should have been on Yom Lamed, should have been on Shabbos. So we don't really have such a good reason why we don't do Pinyan Ben on Shabbos. You don't use money? Do Pinyan Ben something other than money. So we spoke about it last week. Really, it's difficult. Why? It's a chumrif in the Chumash Adesh that you don't allow Pinyan Ben on Shabbos. So then you postpone it till Sunday afternoon, late in the afternoon. That's not right. That's not right. The Stechemet writes about that. If you have the Pinyan, you have a choice when you're going to do Pinyan Ben. So if you're going to do it bright and early in the morning, it's reason the mitzvahs, so you won't have too many people showing up. if you do a bris, somehow the people will show up. You announce the bris is going to be right after Shacharis, the people will come. But if you announce a pinyan ben after Shacharis, very few people will come. So on the one hand, you want to have b'roivam hadras melech, so you want to have the pinyan ben as big a crowd as possible. So if you postpone the pinyan ben to later in the day, more people will show up. So what do you do when you have a conflict between roivam hadras melech, which dictates you should postpone the pinyan ben, as opposed to Zviz Magdem in the Mitzvah, that you should do the Pinyan Ben or else the available opportunity. So there's a Beferish Gemara on this. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, that originally they used to blow Shofar in Chazaras HaShatz on Rosh Hashanah in Shacharis. And they said, Malchus Chana Shofar in Shacharis. And then the practice changed, and you blow Shofar in Musaf. So the Gemara says, the Gemara said the practice changed because of Xeris HaMalchus, because the Romans were giving them a hard time. So they changed it. So why was the practice that you have Tkiyah Shofar and Shacharis? So the Gemara says, if you'll do Tkiyah Shofar and Musaf, there'll be more people in Shul. It'll be Beroivam. Shacharis was half empty in the Shul on Rosh Hashanah. The Shul was half empty in the days of the Tanaim. So if you do Tkiyah Shofar and Musaf, you'll gain Roivam Hadas Melech. If you do it in Shacharis, you'll gain Zviz Magdim in the Mitzvah, do it as early as possible. So the Gemara says, Mi'ikra Din, when it's a toss-up between these two Hidurim, the Hidur of Zviz Magdim in the Mitzvah takes precedence to the Hidur of Roivam Hadras Melech. So the Gemara says, you should really do it early in the morning on Shacharis. And the only reason why you blow Shofar and Musaf, because of Xeris HaMalchus. So that's what they say. It's not really right, the common practice, that we do a Pinyan Adan late in the afternoon. More correct is you should do it in the morning. Then other poskim say there's a Mishnah in Sukkah that you're not allowed to eat before you bench Esrim. So the Mishnah has, what if the fellow didn't have an Esrim the whole day long? So what can he do? So if you have an Esrim, so bench Esrim before you eat. You don't have an Esrim available, so you can't tell him he doesn't eat. So he's in the middle of eating, and then they come up with an Esrim with the Dalet Minim. So the Mishnah discusses, does he, the Mishnah, the Gemara has all discussion. So does he have to be mapsik in the middle of the meal in order to bench Esrig? Or can he finish the meal and bench Esrig later? So they say, based on that, the Mishnah, from the Mishnah's mashma, whenever there's a mitzvah, says manu oiveris, benching Esrig is only in the daytime. If you don't take care of it in the daytime, you miss the chance. You can't bench Esrig balayla, only bayom. So they say, whenever there's a mitzvah, it's man oberis. If you wait too long, you'll miss, you lose out on the mitzvah. You're not allowed to eat lechatchili. You're not supposed to eat until you do the mitzvah. So they say, by a bris milo, let's say, the moel has a few bris in that day. And the bris of my baby is scheduled for 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So they say, the father of the baby is not allowed to eat until after they take care of the bris. So really, strictly speaking, when you do pidyon ben also, the father of the baby shouldn't be permitted to eat until he does the Pinyan Aden. So if you have the Pinyan Aden scheduled for 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right before the Shkiyah, like they usually do, in order to get a bigger crowd, they want to have a Reivam Hadas Melech. So number one, it's wrong because Zviz Magdim in the Mitzvah takes precedence of a Reivam Hadas Melech. And number two, it's wrong because the father's not going to fast the whole day. He's probably going to eat breakfast or lunch, and then the supper is going to be the Pinyan Aden Suda. So that's not right. The father is not really right. That's what some of the poskim say. Why is there a practice that the chassan fasts on the day that he gets married? Because he's getting married is a mitzvah. You're not supposed to eat on the day that you're planning to do a mitzvah. You're not supposed to eat before you do the mitzvah. They give a whole bunch of different reasons why the chassan fasts. So that's one of the reasons that he's planning to do a mitzvah that day, and you're not supposed to eat before you do the mitzvah. So the Gemara is going to have a discussion. We'll have to discuss it next week. Or next week, maybe we'll talk in Yoni Chanukah, so the week after. Gemara is going to discuss a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. What's the din if the father gave the pinyan aden money to the kohen before the Yom Lamed Aleph, and the kohen spent it before? If the kohen still has the money on Yom Lamed Aleph, then the pinyan ben eschal on the Yom Lamed Aleph. But if the kohen spent it before, what's the din? So that's going to be a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, and unlike usually paskin nichos v'kerab yisuri kishmuel d'dine, here we paskin like Shmuel, even though this is Issa Behet. Okay, so we'll have to learn, and we'll have to save it for next week. Cheerful Gemaris. Very cheerful topics. Okay.
Do we say Avchana by Machzor Grushoso?
I don't think so. I think Avchana, because I know it's either it's I'm the father from the first marriage or the second marriage, but it's the same husband. I don't think so. I think it's only if she's marrying someone other than her first husband. She's remarrying the first husband. I don't think you need Avchana. Gotta look in Shulchan Aruch, I'm pretty sure.
Rabbi Shatan, the chosen is in the mitzvah until the night. Why does he have to fast all day?
I mean, if the wedding is going to take place at night.
Yeah, of course, most weddings are at night.
Yeah, we have different reasons, yeah. We have different reasons. A whole bunch of reasons. The Knesset HaGdolah quotes, Knesset HaGdolah quotes that we have a chum in Hilchas Gittin that you shouldn't be Mesadar a get by Laila. And most are chayshish for that. In Shulchan Aruch, quote, you have to be Mesadar a get by Yom. Why? Because when the later Amorim came up with the Chum and Mishena Debetiv Gittin Kedushan Lo Yehela Esek Imahem, so Rashi says in Gittin of Hem Leveis, they quote it in Shulchan Aruch, Rashi said that's why you need a Mesadar Kedushan and a Mesadar a get. The whole concept was instituted when they made that takana. That's a takana in the days of the later Amorim. In the days of the Tanoim, the Gemara said, oh, to call the Megarish, but Bedini Megarish. Everyone who gets the words goes to the Rabbanim. No, the husband writes a get, and he gives it on his own. This was instituted that you need a Mesadar a get, you need a Mesadar Kiddushin. It was instituted later. So the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about a man getting married by Laila. But the Achreinim say, after they made this takana that you need a Mesadar a get, Mesadar Kiddushin, so the Mesadar Aget, the Mesadar Kedushin is like a bezin, and you can't convene a bezin by Laila. So you have to be Mesadar Aget by Yom, and you have to have Mesadar Kedushin by Yom. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo only quotes it in Hilchos Gittin. He never quoted it in Hilchos Kedushin, but the original Chumrah from the Or Zeruah was that the Mesadar Kedushin should not be related to the Chasen Kala, and the Mesadar Aget should not be related to the husband or the wife, and it has to be done by Yom. It shouldn't be done by Laila. So that's what the Knesset HaGdolah got a rabbanus in Constantinople. So he comes there to Constantinople. He said they have weddings at night. He said they never heard of such a thing. They observed the din both by Kiddushin and by Gittin, just like by Get, most follow. They told me Ramosha was always makel on that. He would do Gittin l'chatchila balayla. But most of the rabbanim don't allow Gittin balayla, only if it's a very big shasat chak. Only a very big shas hakat. So really, by kiddushin also. So the Knesset HaGdolah said he tainted it's not right that they have chasanis balayla, and he changed the minig. He insisted that they should have all the chasanis bayom. Yeah, because he needed a bezin. It's not right to have balayla. But they give different reasons why the chasan kala fast. So one of the reasons is we're afraid he'll be shikker. Another reason is if a person gets married, he gets mechilas avinas. It's just like on Yom Kippur, meaning you got mechilas avinas. So you fast, so you should fast now also. And others say he's about to do a mitzvah, so he shouldn't eat until he does a mitzvah. Different explanations. Yeah. Different minhagim. I got married by Laila. The first Mishnah in Ksuvah says, Psula Nisus Liyom Raviv. The girl is getting married for the first time. She gets married on a Wednesday. What if you get married at night? So Tuesday night, I'll be dinner is Wednesday. So the Achrayim say that if you get married at night, you should get married on a Tuesday night, not on a Wednesday night. Even though the reason is that if he has a tainus psulim, he should come to Bezin the next morning. So that it maybe should really, more correct would be to get married on Wednesday night. So he has tainus psulim and come to Bezin on Thursday morning. But the Darkei Tshuva, Yeridea, writes, and Rasul Leitchik said also like that. If you get married by Laila, so then Psula the minute Psula this is the Amravi means on Tuesday night you should get married. So then I got married on Tuesday night, so I fasted on Tuesday, and then I ate supper at home, and then I went to the Chasana. I ate supper before I went. I fasted because of the Mechilas Avinas. Okay, so I fasted the day before my wedding. If the Chasash is that you're going to be shikr, so I ate supper before I went to the wedding. The wedding was in the winter time. We got married in Marcheshvan, so the short days. Different reasons for the minig. So one of the reasons is before you're about to do a mitzvah, you're not supposed to eat. So maybe you're right. It's a different day. Maybe if he's getting married by Laila, then he doesn't have to fast the day before. But for the other reasons, for the reason of Mechilas Avaimus, then he gives that you fast. Okay, very good. We should all be healthy, believe that. And next week we'll discuss in Yoni Chanukah. And then the week after we'll go back to learning more about Pidyon Aveh. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Night, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you. Shkoyach.
Thank you.